welcome to the Blindfold Chess Podcast. This week, we are looking at the young and rising star, Andrei Osipenko. Born on March 22, 2002, Osipenko started playing chess at the age of 5 and quickly showed great promise. Osipenko's early chess accomplishments include winning the European Under-10 Championship in 2012. The next year, he earned his FIDE title. 2017 was a busy year for the 15-year-old star. He won the European Under-16 Championship and won the World Under-16 Chess Championship, and he did not stop there. At the end of 2017, he competed in the 2017 World Rapid Championship, scoring a performance rating of 26-22. During the tournament, he played a queen sacrifice against Sergei Karjakin, which broadcaster Leonard Bardin commented may be the, quote, move of the year. We are not looking at that game today, but I have attached it to the show notes. Feel free to take a look. Fast forwarding to 2020, he finished in a tie for first in the Gibraltar Masters tournament with an incredible performance rating of 28.09, but eventually was eliminated in a four-way playoff to the eventual winner, David Pavarian. Kicking off 2021 with a bang, in January, the then 18-year-old Osipenko competed in the Tata Steel Masters tournament. In round 8, he defeated the then world champion Magnus Carlsen in their first game in a classic time control. Osipenko chose an aggressive line of the Sicilian and caught Carlsen in an awkward bind. After a long grind, Magnus resigned. I remember watching the game live, and it was hard not to feel happy for Osipenko as his smile and his sigh of relief came through after Carlsen's resignation. He later commented that that was one of the happiest days of his life. I've left a link to that particular moment in the show notes. It is really hard not to feel emotional about chess after watching and experiencing moments like that. This was Carlsen's first loss to a teenager in classic time controls since 2011, and his first loss to a sub-2700 player since 2015. Outside of chess, in 2022, Osipenko made a statement with 43 other Russian chess players by signing an open letter to the Russian President Vladimir Putin, protesting the 2022 Russian invasion of Ukraine, as well as expressing solidarity with the Ukrainian people. A segment of the letter says, quote, chess teaches responsibility for one's actions. Every step counts, and a mistake can lead to a fatal point of no return. And if this has always been about sports, now people's lives, basic rights and freedoms, and human dignity, the present and future of our countries are at stake, end quote. Joining Osipenko in this letter was Jan Nepomniachtchi, Daniel Dubov, Peter Svidler, and many others. There is a lot of promise for Mr. Osipenko, standing up to a world leader, beating a world champion, and performance ratings above 2800 before the age of 21. He is someone to watch out for. In today's game, we are going back to the Tata Steel Challengers Tournament of 2019. Andrei Osipenko versus Dinara Sudakarsov. Now, if we're ready, let's begin.
1. Pawn to e4. Pawn to e5. 2. Knight f3. Knight f6. 3. Knight captures e5. Pawn to d6. 4. Knight f3. Knight captures e4. 5. Knight c3. Knight captures c3. 6. Pawn d captures c3. Bishop e7. 7. Bishop e3. Knight d7. Eight, Queen d2.
This is the Petrov opening. It had a reputation of being quite a drawish opening, but people like Fabiano Caruana, when he played it in the World Championship, has started to bring it back and put some new fire into the opening.
Castle kingside. Nine, castle queenside. Pawn to c6. Ten, pawn to h4. Pawn to d5. Eleven, king b1. Rook e8. Twelve, bishop d3. Knight c5. 13, knight g5. Pawn to h6. 14, bishop h7 check. King f8. Fifteen, pawn to c4.
Can you see the tactical trap that Andre is setting up if black were to play pawn on d5 captures on c4? That would be queen captures d8, rook captures d8, the rook on d1 captures on d8, the bishop on e7 captures d8, and then the white bishop on e3 captures the now hanging knight on c5 with check, having white go up a piece.
Knight f4. Sixteen, queen d3. Queen d6. Seventeen, bishop c1.
One of white's pieces are currently en prise. Which one is it? That would be the knight on g5 attacked by the pawn on h6. White has left it there for about 3 moves now. What could white be planning with that?
Pawn h captures g5. 18, pawn h captures g5. Bishop d8. 19, pawn c captures d5. Pawn c captures d5. 20, queen f3. Bishop e6. 21, bishop f5.
White is currently down a piece for a pawn, but I would like to examine the piece placement. Where are the four rooks in the position, and where is the only knight in the position? Black has a rook on a8, which is hemmed in by Black's dark square bishop, a rook on e8 that is severely trapped by his own pieces, and then the knight on a4, which is on the edge of the board with nothing going on around it. White has a rook on h1 on a completely open file, and then a rook on d1 that is ready to swing into the action to e1. So White's minor pieces are completely dominating Black's pieces.
Knight b6. Rook d to e1. Knight d7. Rook h8 check. King e7. Rook captures e6 check. Black resigns.
Rook captures e6 is the icing on the cake. Black has two choices. Queen captures e6, which loses the black queen, or pawn f7 captures e6, which will result in mate in a few moves after. F captures e6, rook captures e8 check, king captures e8, bishop to g6 check, king to e7, and then queen to f7 checkmate. So Andre completely destroyed his opponent in the Challengers tournament. 2 years later, at the same tournament, he would be defeating the world champion. Now let's see what he does in a couple more years' time. So that is all that we have for this week. Tune in next time, where we will continue to work on our blindfold skills and look at another game of the Masters.